Enjoying Foods Are Not Drugs with Croft Woodruff, www.foodsarenotdrugs.com. This is the fourth and final segment of Foods Are Not Drugs, Episode 2, Croft Woodruff. So, what's the answer, or what should we be telling people to do?
Well, they should be going after every MP that they can. It's certainly in their own writing, regardless of the political stripe, and just lay it on the line. If they don't take a stand against these bills and throw them out and bring us back Bill C-420, which was the bill Food Are Not Drugs, which evolved out of that expert advisory committee that was empowered by no less a health minister than Alan Rock during the early years of the Chrétien era. And the culmination of all that expert advisory committee was Foods Are Not Drugs, this is what you do. The bill was put forward, and the Conservatives went for it, the NDP were for it, the Bloc Québec were for it, the Liberals in part were for it, but it died on the paper after second reading in committee because the government fell and they had to call an election.
So the answer is Bill C-420, bring back...
Bring back Bill C-420, Foods Are Not Drugs. Otherwise, you know, as it stands now with that bill, if you want to recommend garlic to lower your cholesterol, which has been proven to do so, or to boost your immunity, was known as during the Second World War as Russian penicillin, you could have it could be taken off the market. A lot of these products may find themselves very seriously threatened. Anything that makes a health claim or has the right to make a health claim, they don't have to accept it, because where are the clinical trials? It doesn't matter that tradition calls into it. I mean, it has been known for thousands of years that certain herbs were good for certain conditions, only because of the experience of the shaman or the village herbalist, you know. And of course, it's only a matter of 300 years ago that they were burning women at the stake for practicing herbalism, because they were a threat to the barber, who was the guy that was doing things like bloodletting or administering mercury and arsenic for treatment. Mm-hmm. But instead they burned women at the stake for practicing cutting in on the medical profession's so-called territory. And that's why we have the Herbalist Charter of Henry VIII. And as far as I know, that Herbalist Charter has yet to be ever been rescinded. So it goes back there. It goes back even to the Magna Carta, when we have the right not to be trampled on by government, whether it's elected or whether it's a monarchy.
I don't think there's any exemption for the native community either in Bill C-51.
Well, that's another thing. Our natives need to feel threatened by such arbitrary legislation, because the native people finally are getting out from the yoke of traditional medicine. I'm sorry, out of allopathic medicine, which is really the alternate medicine. The real medicine is the traditional medicine as practiced by humankind since the beginning of humankind's appearance on this planet, and this applies directly to the native people, the Indians, how do the Spaniards how we got the name Indian? It had nothing to do with the people of India in the subcontinent. It had to do with Los Indios, the people of God. That's what the Spaniards called the native North Americans when they came upon them, and because these people were godlike, childlike, and innocent, and they lived off the herbs and the berries, and they were hunters and gatherers. In the southern parts of North America and in Central America, they were, of course, also gardening and that sort of thing, growing their own food. And they relied on their traditional medicines, the herbs and berries and that of nature, to look after their ills. And these are the people who use the sweatshops, to feeding a fever in a sweatshop or a sauna. That's how you get rid of, like I alluded to earlier in this conversation. And they now are equally under threat by this kind of arbitrary legislation, that their rights to their traditional way of healing will be taken away from them and superseded by the pharmaceutical industry and their toxic molecular potions.
So people should be emailing the minister, the health minister. They should be phoning their MPs. They should
There's
be
an 800 number,
letters.
Isn't there? I don't have it in my head.
I've got all the numbers. If you email me at info@omirahealth.com, I can email all the numbers and addresses and everything to anybody.
There's toll-free numbers. You may have to wait because the lines can get pretty busy, and they have been pretty busy for the last few weeks. I've made a few phone calls myself, and I'll be making some more when Parliament resumes, I guess, after June, is it after May the 30th that they resume? May the 31st, something like that, or June the 1st?
Yep, and I called Tony Clement's office, and they're compiling a list of people that are against Bill C-51.
They're finding it's getting pretty large, is it?
It's getting large, and she said they're receiving a lot of calls.
Yeah, a lot of angry people out there. Well, no wonder 71% of Canadians are taking vitamin and mineral and other food supplements. They're concerned enough about their health that they're taking personal responsibility, and we have government wanting to take away the right to be personally responsible for our health so that we're not dependent on a healthcare system that is bankrupting the provincial and federal treasuries. Healthcare is failing because we are locked into a paradigm of toxic molecular, of invasive surgery, and invasive radiation. Some people call it cut, poison, and burn. And this is why our health care system is really a sickness care system, and it's the fastest growing failing business in the country. And that's why people are turning away from that. They recognize it is futile. It is getting us nowhere. Heart disease is still the number one killer in the country, and of course, cancer is the second killer in the country.
Well, the True Hope example is the perfect example, because for $50 a month, like you said, they're replacing $1,200 in pharmaceuticals.
That's right.
And Linus Pauling has developed the answer to heart disease with his nutritional deficiency remedy.
Exactly.
But of course, you never hear about that.
And of course, this is something that some people won't like to hear. There are physicians working in Africa and other third world countries that are reversing the symptoms of so-called HIV/AIDS or even preventing any symptoms from appearing without these toxic molecular drugs they're using, DNA busting drugs like AZT and nevirapine. The fact is, in the third world countries where they got a problem, if it isn't civil war and the disruption of populations, which means lack of housing, lack of potable water, lack of sanitary conditions, compounded by malnutrition, and the lack of anti-malarial drugs, anti-tubercular drugs, and other anti-parasitic drugs. That's what your problem is in these countries. And what is worse, if Health Canada was doing its job, it would be going after these pharmaceutical companies that are sending fake anti-tubercular drugs, fake anti-malarial drugs, and other fake anti-parasitic drugs to these third world countries and just ripping these countries off. And nothing is being done about it. The World Health Organization recognizes it. Some of these charitable service organizations recognize that problem. And nothing is being done in that area. And that is a real crime against humanity.
Well, Dr. Matthias Rath is in Africa doing treatments for HIV/AIDS patients using 100% natural means, and he's a disciple of Linus Pauling.
That's right.
He's using nutrition to reverse symptoms of HIV. They're gaining weight, and they're getting their health back. And you know, of course, he's getting persecuted for that as well.
Well, the British Medical Journal had to pay out £100,000 in damages for him for libeling him in their pages, and this is. He was libeled by them while he was in court in Germany, and he won his court case in Germany, and the courts ruled and recognized that that Dr. Matthias Rath was doing humanitarian work, and should be commended for it.
Well, he's there with his own money, mm-hmm. from his foundation, and he's not
profiting from what he's doing, other than seeing people have their health turn around and live a good life, a promising life, instead of what they're facing now with these toxic molecular drugs or doing nothing.
I guess he is profiting in a way.
Well, we all profit,
he's
don't
profiting
we? When
vindication.
In vindication.
In that natural health.
Well,
these are
the things that government wants as proof, but they have to come up with false denigration to maintain their head in the sand attitude, like the proverbial ostrich.
Okay, so I guess that's it for today on the Foods or Not Drugs podcast. So yeah, we'll probably be back soon.
Can we leave a little maxim?
Sure.
That those who do not learn from the mistakes of history are doomed to repeat them. And the fact is, the definition of sanity, of insanity, is to be doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different outcome. And that's what this government has been doing, and its previous governments have been doing in Canada and in other countries over the last good 40 years that I have been involved in the health food industry, trying to put the industry out of business to the benefit of the big pharmaceutical cartels.
And you gave me a good example yesterday when you said that you compared them to a rattlesnake.
Well, a rattlesnake gives you a warning, but our federal government gave us nothing.
Yep. So the rattlesnake is actually
to be more trusted than some government officials.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Croft.
You'll have to excuse me. I just have absolutely nothing but contempt for the health bureaucracy and their political overlords. You know, it's the same old, same old.
Thanks for listening. This was the final segment of Foods Are Not Drugs, Episode 2 with Croft Woodruff. Hope you join us for more episodes of Foods Are Not Drugs at www.foodsarenotdrugs.com.